Well, my sermon title is Gone Fishing, and from our passage from Luke, you can see where that comes from. We're dealing with fishing folk, lots of fish. Now, the sad thing is I didn't really fish very much as a child or a teenager or an adult for that matter, so I don't really know a lot about the subject of fishing. I have two funny fishing stories, though. One is, one's not really fishing, but it does involve fish. One is, I was a little kid, and we lived in Miami. See, I was always around places with a lot of fishing, I just never did much of it. We were in Miami, and we had a house that was kind of near a lake, and it began raining, and boy, did it rain. Just one of those South Florida rains that never ends. And I went outside and looked, and I came inside and I said, Mommy and Daddy, there's fish in the yard. And they said, oh, Brian, that's, you know, really funny. Cute little child, doesn't know what they're talking about. And I said, no, Mommy and Daddy, there are fish in the yard. And they say, okay, well, we'll humor you. We'll go out with you and check. And they said, oh, my God, there's fish in the yard. You see, there were these, I guess called walking catfish or something like that, that sort of flop around in shallow water, and there had been so much flooding that they had kind of come out from the lake and flapped around, and there were a couple flapping around in our front yard. So that's at least a story about you never know where to expect to find fish, which is something that we saw from our Luke passage. Another story that I have is when I went with my mother, I was sort of a young teenager, and we went on a fishing trip. You see, we used to vacation in Naples, Florida, not too far from home. And we went out on one of these chartered boats, you know, where they take out, you know, 5, 6, 8 people. And we were fishing, and everybody else there was catching a lot of great stuff. They were catching, you know, red snapper and all these other delicious fishes, giant ones. My mother and I, not so much. She didn't catch anything. I caught one thing at first. It was a catfish, a saltwater catfish, and I remember that it had only one whisker on either side, which was a little odd. And then I caught a second thing. It was a saltwater catfish. And it had two whiskers on either side. Now, I really think this is true. I might have made this up in my mind, but I think it's true. And then I caught a third thing. Any guess what it was? Saltwater catfish with three whiskers on either side, which, you know, clearly looking back, must have been a sign. And that's all I caught. That was it. Three little saltwater catfishes, which are not really that great to eat. And so here my mother and I thought, wow, you know, we spent all this day. You know, my father had said, you know, bring home whatever fish you catch and I'll clean them and cook them for dinner. So he hadn't really even gone out shopping. And we didn't have much to bring home. Well, turns out everybody else in the boat was staying in hotels. And they just had come to fish for the fun of it. We were the only people that, you know, had a little sort of condo that we were in. And so at the end of the trip, they were like, well, here, you want all our fish? And so we had more fish than we knew what to do with. I mean, we froze fish, we did everything. My father never cleaned so many fish in his life. And so that's a story perhaps about finding abundance when you don't think that you're going to get any. That's about the extent of my fishing knowledge, so don't look for any more fishing stories beyond that. Well, that is about our passage in Luke. We have a lot of fish in our passage in Luke. There are no fish in our passage from Isaiah. Isaiah is it's a rather harsh passage. Basically, Isaiah comes to the temple. Isaiah finds the Lord there. There's all these seraphim. Isaiah says, I'm not worthy to be here. And one of the seraphim comes with a hot coal and puts it to Isaiah's lips. This is a symbol of burning away the sin from his lips. And then God says to Isaiah that you're to go to the people, these sinful people, and you're to make them dumb, make them not listen to me. Because if they listen to me, they might ask for healing. But I don't want them to listen to me. Their time is up. They had their chance. They didn't take it. And they're going to face desolation. And of course, Isaiah says, well, Lord, you know, how long will this go on for? Is this just for this week, perhaps? No, it's till the land is barren and desolate. If there is 1 out of 10 people, they will die as well. and that the stump that is left, essentially, will be the seed for the new Jerusalem to rise. That's a pretty harsh text, especially in comparison to our Luke text, which seems fairly friendly. You got these fishermen, and you know they complain at first. Jesus comes, and he's actually trying to escape a crowd who's surrounding him to hear his message. And he gives his message from one of their boats out in the lake a little bit so he can get a little room. And you would have thought that this would have already been impressive enough to these fishermen, but apparently not, because Jesus says, you know, why don't you fish over there? And they, you know, first they do what the disciples do. They always complain. They say, well, you know, we've fished all day. You'll find this complaining later on. Which one of us is your favorite? Jesus? I don't know Jesus. Who's Jesus? You know, this is what they do. They believe, and yet they don't believe. And this is one of those examples. They say, yeah, well, you're pretty important, obviously, but, you know, we've fished all day. And they say, okay, all right, you know, what does it hurt? We'll give you a try. And they go out into this part of the lake, and they probably fished nearby. And they throw their nets down, and they get this huge abundance of fish. It says that the boats are almost sinking. There are so many fish. And at this point, they know that Jesus really is something special. And they follow Jesus. And Jesus says that great line, you will be fisher of men. You'll be catching people. And they leave everything and follow him. That's a much happier passage than the Isaiah passage. Now, they are actually similar to each other. Both talk about a call to discipleship. In the Isaiah passage, Isaiah is called to be a prophet of God. In our passage from Luke, we have the disciples being called to their discipleship. And both accept this. Both, at first, think they're not worthy. Both Isaiah thinks he's not worthy to be in the presence of God. The disciples feel that they're not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. And both are told that they are worthy and that they should come and follow. Now, at this point, the stories diverge a little bit. In the Luke passage, we hear that Jesus wants them to catch people, that Jesus has a sort of more positive outlook going forward, that he wants to save all these people, whereas in the Isaiah passage, we sort of hear that, well, these people's time has come and gone, and they will be cut down. One's more positive, one's more negative. And it is a great difficulty sometimes to marry these two ideas together. Sometimes we see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have different images of God. Even within the Old Testament, we have different images of God. Sometimes God seems very forgiving. Sometimes God seems very vengeful. This is a perfect example of those two. How can God at one point in time feel as if he will forgive us for anything, and at another point in time feel as if he's given up on us? Well, all I can say is it's a difficult question. There's been a lot of debate over how you deal with passages of the Bible that differ from one another. In fact, there was something called dispensationalism that was invented by theologians to come up with how to have these things coexist with each other. It's not something I ascribe to, but it's done by those that have a more literal interpretation of the Bible. And what they say is that there's different covenants. There's a covenant for the Old Testament, a covenant for the New Testament. There's the church period after the New Testament, and there's the modern period that we're at now. And in all those periods, God acts in different ways because God has a different relationship to humanity. And they do that because that's really the only way that you can make sense of why God acts so differently. Now, my view, which is a little different, is to basically just not worry about it. I don't know if that's really what you wanted to hear, but that's my view. You know, my sermon title is Gone Fishing. I left the G off intentionally. Leaving the G off suggests a more casual approach to fishing, perhaps. I mean, I do know a lot of people that fish. I didn't do much fishing, but I know a lot of people that fish. And it seems to me that half the time, maybe even most of the time, catching fish really isn't the goal. Certainly all that beer they take with them on the boat I don't think is going to help them catch fish. They sure seem to be out there a long time, in the same spot even. You see those people fly fishing on the river, wading deep in, just sitting there back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, I don't know how many times they go back and forth before they finally get something to bite. They might be there all day and say, yep, just wasn't a good day. You see, there is something about fishing that involves patience. It involves not worrying so much about whether or not you're going to catch a fish. I think that if everybody that went fishing was just so concerned with whether or not they were going to catch something in that 5-minute period or that hour long or all day, well, they probably wouldn't be fishers for very long because they'd get disappointed pretty early on in their fishing career. And I think that has a lot to do with us as well. You know, sometimes we worry so much about what goes on in the world and what goes on in our lives. We worry about this person in our family that's not quite doing what we think they should do. We worry about what we can do in our jobs. We worry about what we can do in the community around us. We worry about this and we worry about that. And we seem to be so focused on perhaps the particular way in which we can fix it. Just like the fishermen in the Luke story. They were so focused on the fact, well, this is how we do fishing. I don't know who you are, but this is how we do fishing. And by God, we didn't catch anything. So we're not really so keen on going out and trying that spot that you suggest. You see, we put these blinders on that we have a hard time seeing past. And something that we have to remember is that we are not God. Sometimes you might meet some people that seem to think that they are, but we're not. We're not God. We're not capable of fixing even many of our own problems, let alone fixing the problems of those around us, let alone fixing the greater problems of the world. Now, this is not an excuse. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we just throw up our hands and say, well, there's no point in doing anything. But what I am saying is that just like the fisherman that goes out, if we don't catch fish that day, we can't beat ourselves up about it. We can't think that somehow we're a failure. We shouldn't think that, by God, it has to be done now and it has to be done this way or it's never going to be done. We need to have patience. We need to have patience and listen to God in our lives. Listen to where God is directing us. We need to listen to those around us who we know are good influences, who we know have helped others in their lives. Listen to them. What do they suggest? What do they say? The people that perhaps are not such good influences, maybe we shouldn't listen to them as much. Just like you might listen to the fishermen that caught a lot one day. Well, what hole did you go to? Well, maybe I'll try it over there. And just not stress out so much. Ultimately, many things will be what they will be, regardless of what your actions are. And sometimes your actions might make a difference even when you think they might not. What's important is that we listen to God, that we take our blinders off, whatever those blinders might be, that narrowly focus us in one particular way of solving a problem. It's important that we listen to those around us that have good insight, together acting as the body of Christ in the world. And what we'll find is two things. And these are two things that you can find in our stories. One is that if we listen to God and those that give us good direction in our lives, that we might avoid the desolation that's found in Isaiah. And if we look at our passage from Luke, we might find the abundance that the fishermen find when they listen to Jesus. Avoiding desolation and finding abundance. Two great things that many of us strive for so hard. Know that you are not alone. Know that it is not your sole responsibility to do these things. Know that you have support in this church. Know that you have support in the friends and family among you. Know that you have support in God. Jesus is with us always. And relax a little. Enjoy your day of just fishing with your fellow people in community with Christ. Amen.